Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to So I Got You Thinking, the weekly podcast where we take the questions of Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City and apply them to modern life and love. You are joined by your cosmopolitan Juno Dawson and your Long Island iced tea, Dylan B. Jones. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome. This week we are discussing season 3, episode, I want to say, 8?
9.
Easy Come, Easy Go. As we're now into the trilogy of episodes that deal with Carrie's infidelity, it's just going to be Dylan and I to take us through this dramatic development. Dylan, give us your potted synopsis.
So Carrie big comes back into the picture in a big way. After a hint last week that he might be sniffing around. So we'll get into that properly in a minute, I guess. Charlotte meets Bunny McDougal.
Oh, love her so much. She's so good.
Who we love. Trey's mum. Samantha is dating a guy with the funkiest tasting spunk.
beautiful Bobby Cannavale, who I've been a big fan of for a long time.
Oh, we love. I just knew that you would love him as well.
He's right up my street.
Right up my street. And Miranda and Steve. Ooh, yeah, Miranda and Steve.
So yeah, let's start at the beginning with Carrie being Aiden's booth bitch. I have just been a booth bitch. I was just explaining to Dylan that this recording is coming from my office space where I do my writing in Brighton. You have to book out the little isolation booths, the little soundproof pods. And a man would not leave my booth. So I had to become a booth bitch. I was like, properly, Karen, I've called the manager. I have reserved this booth and now you need to leave. However, Carrie is a different kind of booth bitch in that she is assisting Aiden at a bougie furniture show when who should happen by but Big and Natasha. And you know how we've defended Natasha a lot this year? Actually, she's kind of a cunt. Yeah, she was kind of a bitch. Yeah. She too was a booth bitch.
I don't know how you can like this clunky wood. It's almost oppressive.
Well, I think this is where Natasha shows her white feminism, because if she finds wood oppressive, one imagines she has glided through life with few issues. I mean, she wants to try being trans for a week or being a woman of colour for a week.
Peak, I mean, I think
white feminism.
I think all of them need to try that, really. But I also love Carrie's face when she's hiding behind the booth. She's just like, ugh. Like, she's so disgusted with her.
Natasha is the worst. And Big suggests she likes teeny tiny furniture. I like to imagine that they're living like a creepy doll's house, kind of, with like drinking out of mini cups.
Yeah, with like little spindly white chairs. That's what I imagine. I can see why Big and Natasha are at the kind of showcase, the new designer showcase. But what I don't understand is why Big is at the opening party afterwards. Surely that should just be like designers and their plus ones. Like, why is Big there? Did he just kind of like hide and stay around for some free drinks, maybe?
Potentially. I mean, as a wealthy investor, there is a possibility that he's been invited to spend money, which is something, you know, he has money. So yeah, you would want him around expensive furniture, I guess. Oh, Big. Oh, John James Preston. He's in a bad way, isn't he?
Yeah, and he does it really well. Like, you can see this is a man, like, unraveling when he's, like, sort of speaking to her through the rolled up program or whatever it is.
Oh, and
it's just like, it's quite tragic.
It's not working. Yeah. It is tragic. It is really tragic to see someone who has been, you know, Carrie at one point describes him as the Chrysler building. You know, he's so solid. And what Chris Noth does really well, I think, in his performance is that regret that he realizes, a bit like I've been pounding a lot of the crown. And, you know, you see a similar performance in Josh O'Connor's Prince Charles as well. That kind of, I've done what was expected of me. I've done what's expected of me. I've married a beautiful 20-something princess.
Yeah.
Who fits, you know, Natasha's face fits. She's exactly who a man like Big should be marrying. And he realizes I've married someone who is not the right match for him.
A beige
woman. And I mean, and again, we're trying to defend Natasha to a point on So I Got to Thinking. But so I think it's, and they did this better in The Crown, actually. Have you seen The Crown?
So I was going to say, I think I do intend on watching this latest season in full, because it looks great.
Oh, it's so good.
I was watching it over Chris's shoulder last night, and it was the scene when Diana does the ballet. I never even knew that happened.
Yeah, cringe, yeah.
How extra, though. Like, no wonder she's a gay icon. Like, what an extra ridiculous thing to do. Like, couldn't believe it.
But it's that same thing of which is, you know, Charles comes across as quite monstrous in The Crown, but the problem is there from the beginning, and they have literally nothing in common. You know, he's all rural pursuits, and Diana is a city girl. She likes lunch and brunch and going to the theatre. And I think the same is true of potentially of Natasha and Big, which is Natasha is probably a perfectly lovely woman, but she's just not on Big's level. In a way that Carrie is on Big's level, because, you know, they keep coming back to each other. They can't stop because, you know, and we've said this a gazillion times on this podcast, the chemistry between Carrie and Big is so good.
Yeah.
But he must, I guess, Big, and this is Big's fault, Big never saw himself with someone like Carrie, with a scrappy working class sex columnist. He obviously saw himself with somebody a bit more decorative and a bit more straightforward, somebody who isn't going to challenge him in the way that Carrie challenges him.
Yeah, totally. Like, Carrie's the more unconventional, the more unconventional, wild.
Curly Katie.
Yeah.
And this leads us nicely to the question that we are going to attempt to answer this week, which is not just the question, have you ever had an affair? Because I think we should talk about that. But the question is, when it comes to relationships, is it better to go with your head or your heart? Which is something that I think we can all sympathise with to an extent. So going back to the plot. Anyway, after, and it's so good. I love the scene where Carrie is like, when Big is like, I'm getting out if you know anyone who's interested. And Carrie's like, no one is interested in that information. Jump cut to, Big's leaving his wife, which is so good. Because that's exactly, I wouldn't have even waited until I was in person. I would have done like a group chat call. Like, the WhatsApp would have been jumping.
The writing's great. And I mean, credit where credit's due. We slag off Michael Patrick King a lot. But his writing's great in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's really well written out. Yeah, what else about Carrie and Big? Like, yeah, all the ladies are, like, understandably shocked by the news. But I think it's obvious, isn't it, to the viewer that Carrie is already kind of, because she's thinking about it, she's already getting sucked back in right from the start, really.
It's very well choreographed in that. It's like watching a car crash in slow motion. You know what's going to happen. And
absolutely,
you want, because they've done a really good job of making Aiden just absolutely lovely. And actually, Aiden only becomes slightly more morally ambiguous much, much later in season 4.
And I've noticed Carrie is like cutesy and childish around Aiden. And then when she's around Big, there's like this like really adult, sexy chemistry when she's around. And I don't know if that was deliberate, but it's interesting.
Because I think that this is the big plot of this series, and they must have known right from the get-go what was going to happen. Before they even introduced Aiden, they must have known what was going to happen. And so I think that's why Aiden has been portrayed as so morally heroic. And to see Carrie slide back into Mr. Big's arms, and we'll talk about the lift scene later because it is a bit problematic. But, you know, before that scene in the hotel, there is, you know, when she's obsessively listening to the voicemail message about kind of like, can you call me back when you have a minute? And she has to get Miranda around. You know, it's really clear that Carrie is not over Big.
Yeah. And Miranda knows as well.
Mm.
I was trying to, when Carrie said, oh, I hate my machine, I was trying to think of what the 2020 equivalent would be. And it's the DMs, like Big slid into her DMs.
Yeah, and it's really difficult. I mean, have you ever had an ex who's had that kind of sway over you?
Yes, but he lives abroad, so that makes things a lot easier. But yeah, and I think it's because he was... I don't think he listens to the podcast, and if he does, I doubt he'll mind me saying this, because I know that he feels the same. He's particularly significant because we met when we were 16, when both of our parents were on holiday in Paris, and we met in Paris. And ever since, and we like saw each other like every few years since then. Mm. And every time I see him, it's that mad, that like it's just mad. But it's not as like, I know nothing's ever going to happen again, so it's not as intense as Carrie and Big. But it's still like, I know that feeling that Carrie gets when she sees Big.
Yep. And I've got my Mr. Big as well. Yeah. And he's never going to be fully out of my system.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's
that's
kind of,
what I mean.
Yeah. Even though, you know, I've literally transitioned into another gender, although he is kind of bisexual. But so he's had relationships with men and women. So I would, I guess, fit the bill. But yeah, it's kind of, you know, we're on very good terms now. And we sometimes sort of chat. I see him around town all the time. You know, he's married with a kid now. But at the same time, that took quite a lot of maturity for his birth to kind of be like, we have to coexist in this city together, kind of. We need to sort of stop all this drama. And I think it was a very 20s thing. And, you know, I think a part of me was as keen on the drama of it as much as the romance of it, I think. He was a big feature of my 20s. And my friends, much like Carrie's friends in the end, were like, oh, my God, just stop. Kind of, this is so exhausting, kind of. The histrionics of it all was a lot. But you can see it in Carrie and Big, and I remember watching this for the first time when I was 19 or 20 years old and sort of thinking, no, Carrie, do not do it. You know, you've found a nice boyfriend and Aiden treats you so well. You know, stay away from this toxic man. But now as a fully grown adult, I'm kind of like, ah, yes. And who among us would not have done the same? So,
yeah. It's interesting how, like, particularly in the last couple of episodes, things that, like, aspects of Carrie's behaviour that annoyed us when we were younger, now we're like, oh, yeah, I know how that, that feels.
Because we've lived it. I've never had an affair in this. I mean, this, I sometimes think, you know, the notion of the affair as seen in The Affair, like the long-standing extramarital affair is not something I've ever had because I've never been married, for one thing. It's more, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that I've never cheated because I have, but it wasn't in this kind of way. It was a much more sort of like opportunistic thing where sometimes, you know, it was just meeting somebody on a night out or running into an ex or, you know, some sort of weird coincidence that where one thing led to another, and you know, and I really shouldn't have done it, and I recognize now it was shitty behavior because I wasn't in an open relationship at the time, and it was breaking the rules. But I've never done this kind of thing where, you know, when you're with someone and then embark on a long-standing liaison against the rules. And I wonder if that, I mean, do you know anyone who ever has? I mean, is it a generational thing?
No, and yeah, maybe it is a joke. I just don't. It was Chris and I were watching Sliding Doors the other day, And do you remember in Sliding Doors, the guy like cheats on Gwyneth?
Yeah.
And the affair like carries on with is it with Jean Triplehorn, who looks fab in it?
Yeah.
And the affair like carries on throughout the whole thing, and he's always like hiding and sneaking around and stuff. And I said to Chris, like, I just don't understand why? Like, either break up with Gwyneth, tell Gwyneth, like, just stop. Like, why are you doing this to, quite apart from why are you doing this to your partner, also why are you doing this to yourself? Like, what's the point? And just the massive like emotional strain. I guess some people must get a kick out of it. That can be the only reason.
I mean, so this is difficult. I will say that a close family member was caught out having an affair a very long time ago.
Oh, wow.
And I suspect it was to do with kids. So Big is in the position where he realises he's out of his depth. Whereas I can only imagine, as somebody who, I've only got a chihuahua, I don't have children. You know, when you've built a life that includes a mortgage, a wife or a husband, children, yeah, a pet, a car, you're in too deep. And then if you're to meet someone and have that kind of chemistry with them, no, I imagine you're not going to just walk away from a mortgage. Because I tell you what, actually, a marriage is easier to walk away from than a mortgage. I think actually the most difficult thing about when you leave a long-term relationship, sometimes it's assets more than the actual relationship itself. But, you know, I have had friends who have got divorced. And yeah, it's hard once you've made those kind of legally binding steps. So I wonder if maybe that's why. I wonder if that's why we don't know people who've had affairs, because maybe we're not at that stage in our lives yet. Maybe that's why, you know, I'm not aware of any extramarital affairs among my friends, because maybe they've kept it to themselves. So possibly this is just something that hasn't been shared. But it's funny because part of the reason I wouldn't have an affair now is not only that I'm in love with Max and wouldn't want to hurt him. The thought of hurting Max is enough to stop me. Like, I couldn't bear it. You know, I love Max with all my heart, and the idea that I would cause him such grief. So actually what I would do, if I was to, for some obscure reason, meet somebody and have this crazy sexual connection, I would have a conversation with Max. I would tell him. Yeah. Because the thought of going behind Max's back is just unthinkable, kind of. But also, at the back of my mind as well, there is this, you know, we have a whole world together, and I'm not going to risk that for sex with Mr. Big. And so I just wouldn't. But I would be really, really interested, like, genuinely, to listeners, please slide into our DMs. Is this a situation that you've been in? Have you had a long-standing illicit affair? Because I'm really interested to know if it happens the way we've seen it on TV, because it's such a staple of television. Like, there is a whole show called The Affair that's about an affair. But it feels quite retro. It's how it feels quite 80s.
Yeah, now that you say it, it's something that I've seen a lot on mostly 90s films and television, but haven't really, like, it hasn't been a part of my life in terms of, like, friends have never talked about having one, or, like, I've never had one.
Maybe it's to do with our proximity to queerness as well, which you can only break the rules if there are rules to break.
I think a lot of the time, I definitely don't want to be one of those patronising people in open relationships who are like, we're the new normal, this is the solution to all your problems, because I know that different things work for different people. But I think perhaps, particularly maybe back in the 90s, maybe some particularly straight people suffered unnecessarily because they could have had a nice conversation and both happily been in an open relationship, but that didn't exist. It didn't occur to them to do that.
Although I will say, and we've talked about the rules of your specific open relationship, but most of the couples I know who do have open relationships wouldn't tolerate this kind of additional relationship,
which is almost mine included.
Yeah, basically having two boyfriends at the same time is not the one, even within an open relationship. I've seen a couple that I know, and they're still together. At one point, they brought in a third person into that kind of throuple scenario. And actually, in the end, it didn't work. It became very, very toxic indeed. So I'm yet to see a relationship where bringing in a third person as a recurring guest star is successful. But I'm sure it must be.
very complicated.
Managing two people's emotions must be incredibly complicated.
Should we go to a break?
Let's take a little break. Let's take a break, and then when we come back, we will talk about what the other three women are up to.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello. Welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. This week we have been watching season 3, episode 9, Easy Come, Easy Go. And we're trying to answer the question, when it comes to love, is it better to go with your head or your heart? And so far I don't think we're any closer to having an answer.
We got a bit sidetracked by extramarital affairs, didn't we?
We do, yeah. And I suppose that's Carrie going with her heart, not her head.
I think you're going to agree with me on this one. I think that you've got to follow your heart, really. Like, imagine how depressing it would be if, like, you lived your entire love life based on just following your head. But I guess it doesn't have to be one or the other. It can be a bit of both.
A bit of both. I'm going to disagree. To play devil's advocate, I'm going to say there were times in my life where my heart led me down a bit of a wrong path. And actually, I had to make a decision using my head that there are certain types of men in this world who are really bad for my mental health. And actually, it doesn't matter how sexually drawn to them you are or how much you think they're the one. Actually, look at these men analytically. They're bad for you. And so actually, as I turned into my 30s, actually, I did start to apply my head a lot more because actually, you know, I was dating some really bad men.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. And I suppose head doesn't have to necessarily mean like logic. It can mean like you said, like mental health and looking after your well-being, I suppose. Mm.
Yeah. And just being more discerning. You know, I know now, you know, let's say Max was to suddenly move to Java and I was to never see him again. I would use my past experience to know that I'm looking for a man like Max. And so actually sometimes it's a case of things we've learned from our heart. So, you know, we've all had our hearts broken and we learn lessons from that. So maybe by the time you hit your 30s, you are operating on just a much... You're not starting from scratch every single time. So you can apply the lessons of your head to your heart. And I have an amazing factette about Samantha from last week's episode, if I may. So this comes from sheer strangeness in that I was Googling The Lost Boys, which is one of my favourite 80s films.
Yeah.
And you know the doctor who gave her Viagra last week?
Yeah.
He's one of the vampires from The Lost Boys. He's the really hot vampire that dies in the shower.
Oh my God. Mm. One of my favourite parts of this podcast is learning really bizarre little facts like that.
Yeah, like, because I was like, oh my God, can you remember the really hot vampire from Lost Boys? Like the one with the brown mullet? He's the doctor who gave Samantha Viagra. Hot.
So we talk about the iconic styling in Sex and the City, but the styling in Lost Boys is another level.
Iconic, yeah. I love it so much. So anyway, back to this week, back to Easy Come, Easy Go. Samantha, what's she doing? What is she even on this? Oh my God, Funky Spunk. Yes, how can I forget? This is one of those storylines that's so iconic. You wouldn't know which episode it came from. Like, it has nothing to do with anything. Oh my God, I've just realised it's to do with head.
Oh, your head.
Oh my God. Yeah. So it's you give the best head. Oh my God. It's a little play on words.
And also easy come, easy go.
Yeah. So yeah,
I love I love Charlotte just getting up and leaving.
That is just one of the best moments. And this time, she's never coming
and
back.
She's never coming back.
I mean, it's just like just the balls of the writers literally to come up with that plot line and just drop it into the script halfway through. I'm dating a guy with the funkiest tasting spunk.
Can I cancel my rice pudding?
Have you tried just not giving him head? I hadn't even thought of that.
So like, possibly because of this episode. Well, the pineapple thing was always like a thing at school, right? Wasn't it? Like, people always said like, oh, if you eat pineapple, it makes your cum taste nice. Well, it wasn't my school anyway.
No, I come from a more innocent time where blowjobs were just not discussed in the 90s in West Yorkshire. Just, no. A lot of conversation was around fingering when I was at school. That was very much.
She got fingered, yeah. Mm. Yeah. But yeah, that's like, in my conscience anyway, that's always been a rumour, is the pineapple thing. I still don't know whether it's true. I think it is proven that... I think your diet does make a difference.
Of course, yeah. I know you want... For really healthy sperm, you need to be eating zinc-rich foods. So it's a lot of seeds and pulses, which are high in zinc are meant to be good for jizz. Joy juice. Spunk. Spooge.
Joy juice, I was a bit unsure about.
Yeah. Lizzo has just been called out on social media for plugging joy juice, but in the diet shakes. Yeah.
A woke Charlotte moment,
mm-hmm.
when Carrie, or it's either Carrie or Miranda are like, oh, so casual blowjobs are back. And Samantha's like, oh, well, he's healthy and I don't swallow. All of that statement is bollocks. So, like, firstly, he's healthy. What does that mean? Like, has she seen, like, his test results? Like, she's basically just saying, oh, well, he looks healthy, so it's fine,
mm-hmm.
which is bollocks. It's also bollocks that you can, like... It's very unlikely that you would ever get an STI from blowjobs anyway. Like, the likelihood of getting HIV is, like, 0.0005.
Minuscule, yeah.
And also, like, swallowing or not swallowing, the risk is pretty much the same. So, yeah. Sorry, Samantha, but all of that was wrong.
Interestingly, now, this is an overshare. My body cannot digest semen. It gives me the most horrific IBS.
Oh my God.
Just, it goes straight through me. I figured that one out quite early, that I started to notice the correlation between basically having explosive IBS and swallowing. So I would be interested to hear from other people who have a similar reaction to jizz.
I would love, like, it's such a mood, like, imagining you, like, saying to a guy, like, oh, I'm sorry, I just can't digest semen.
I do. I've had to. It's like Bobby Cannavale saying, "I've heard some far out reasons for not giving head." It's true. I mean, I wonder. Potentially now, here's a self dietitian thing. I can't eat egg whites, and I think it might be sort of like the similar stuff,
like,
but it just. It just goes straight through me.
It's probably got high protein content and high fat content, which is maybe that's. I mean, this is like armchair like science. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but like, it's also quite sort of. I guess, is it quite salty? Quite like acidic?
I don't know, but if a dietitian out there could get in touch and answer the question of why it is I'm not allowed to eat semen, I would. I would be really grateful. Thank you.
That's so funny.
So
there's no point really to Samantha's storyline, is there?
It's much needed light relief because obviously Carrie's going through some really heavy shit and Miranda's going through some really heavy shit. And obviously big things are happening for Charlotte as well. God, we haven't even got to that yet. So no, it's just light relief. But I mean, Bobby Cannavale is so sexy. And obviously he went on to be in Will and Grace and then into big movie star territory. So yeah, I mean, he's just really, really good as well.
He's in a great film called Spy, which I watched recently.
Yes, he is. And Snakes on a Plane. He's in so much stuff. He's all over the place. So I'm a big, big fan of his. Yeah. And let's move on. Should we do Miranda and Steve? Because that storyline is a bit depressing. So let's do Miranda and Steve. It's so awful when your post breakup, and I've had to do this. I had to live with one of my exes.
I was going to ask, because I never have, thank fuck. I was going to ask if you had.
Oh, yeah. I had my ex-boyfriend on the sofa bed, and it was not the one. And it was about 4 weeks, because in Brighton and Hove, that's how long it takes to get like your references approved and stuff and signed.
So you've literally been in this exact situation.
I really have. And it was difficult. And we tried so hard to keep it civil. And I remember one time he tried to pick a fight, and it was very, very sad. You know, the relationship wasn't working. It was really very like Miranda and Steve, actually. It was clear it wasn't working, that it had run its course. And we maintained civility. We tried to stay out of each other's way as much as possible. We sort of danced around each other in the same way that Miranda and Steve did. And one night he tried to pick a fight, and I was like, let's not. We've done so well. Like, can we dismount this relationship without needing to resort to fighting? And actually, I really, that lovely last scene where Miranda's like, we did okay. I was like, they did do okay. But it was a good role model for me, which, you know, and I think it's something that a lot of people could learn from, which is a breakup doesn't need to become bitter and unpleasant and nasty. There's no need. And actually, if you are both adults, you know, for the sake of a few weeks of someone surfing, I think all of us can maintain civility. You know, you don't need to be throwing plates and slamming doors and all that stuff. Yeah. And so actually, I think it is a bittersweet little moment for Steve and Miranda. And again, you know, that moment where the girl from the bar rings and Miranda's like, oh, shit, kind of, oh, that's unpleasant.
I was thinking it was out of order of Steve to give her Miranda's
the home number, yes.
But then also, I guess, like, in the 90s, what else do you do? Like,
he works in a bar. He could have given her the bar's number.
It was also out of order of him to just fucking like leave, because it's his dog.
Right, to, like, I picked up on that as well. Leaving the dog without saying, can you walk the dog, is unforgivable. And when I first got Prince, my little chihuahua, I was living with a flatmate in London. The rule was very simple. If I was going out and Steve was not able to look after the dog, I had to stay home.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a puppy, it is as difficult in some ways as having a baby. And that dog can't take itself out, and it's not wearing a diaper. So, that was obscene of Steve to dump the puppy on Miranda. That's not okay.
Yeah. So, Bunny.
Ah, Bunny. The Bunny McDougal mind control technique for controlling your son or spouse.
What is it? Maybe you should go to Code Basque instead. Yeah.
Cloche, and the waiter was rude.
Oh, Thomas, we love some more of these nibbly, nibbly cheese things.
He's as old as water, but he never forgets a martini.
Why is she so good? I don't know.
Because Frances Sturgenbergen, however you pronounce her surname, is wonderful. She is a very seasoned actress. She had been working in film and television since silent cinema, I think, kind of. And so she, you know, when they cast her as a waspy matriarch, why not? And I mean, and Bunny only gets more ridiculous as kind of the series goes on.
We won't get ahead of ourselves, but I just remembered, like, something to do with a mallard. Like, the mallard has to go in the, like, I can't remember.
Duck decoy. Yeah. I don't even know what the fuck is a duck decoy. I mean, who knows? But yeah, she is wonderful. I don't like Mandarin food, and I don't like Mandarin baby.
Oh my God.
The level of what the fuck with Bunny. I mean, this is just the beginning. So all righty became the ultimate Trey McDougal catchphrase, didn't it? Which is, maybe we should get married. Alrighty.
Yeah, and Charlotte's upset because she ended up proposing to herself.
Do you know, somewhat in my darkest nights, I fear I pulled a Charlotte, which is I talked about engagement rings so much that I think Max eventually just broke. Because it's like, she's not going to stop. This is not going to stop until I get her the ring. But we didn't go that far.
That's a tried and tested, that's a very common thing though, isn't it? You're not the first to have...
It was, I think I did go mental, it has to be said, so that's quite a problematic term, but I didn't propose to myself, I think, need to say. You know, there is something, you know, wildly romantic about a handsome man stopping you outside Tiffany's and saying, I think we should go in there and pick out the most beautiful ring. Yeah. I think for lots of girls, that would be an amazing way to propose. Yeah. Which is slightly how it happened with Max and I, which is we were out in Brighton one day and he was like, why don't we go looking for some rings? And that's kind of, and it was what a day, what a shopping trip. That was an amazing day out. So
did you walk around the, is it the lanes?
That's right, the South Lanes, which is the jewellery district in Brighton, and looked at all the vintage rings and the antique rings.
Gorgeous.
It was very, very beautiful and very romantic.
Gorgeous.
So, yes. So what do we think then? So when it comes to matters of, well, when it comes to relationships, what is more important, head or heart?
I think my conclusion is it doesn't have to be black and white. It doesn't have to be one or the other. And
romance or realism. You would want both, I think.
Yeah.
I think in feminist terms, women do not have to choose.
Yeah.
Ever. You know, this is not something I think that a lot of men are worrying about. And I think you should follow your heart, but also apply the lessons of the past as well, so that you make wiser choices. Because, of course, we end this episode on Carrie's very unwise choice, which is that lift scene. I think Work Charlotte does need to step in, and Carrie's repeated fuck you is, to my mind, an emphatic no. And Big does not stop.
Yeah.
It's so cringe. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck me. It's so naff.
Oh, no.
Carrie Bradshaw saying, fuck me, like in The Exorcist or something. Like, ugh.
I really cringed at that as well. I think it's because it's her. I think that if it had been Samantha or Miranda, it would have worked. Do you know what I mean? I think that's why it's just weird hearing Sarah Jessica Parker say, fuck me.
Well, you know why? It's because she had it built. She had an agreement with Michael Patrick King that she doesn't like swearing. So she had it kind of built into the format that she doesn't swear a lot. So even hearing her say fuck is, and, you know, she says fuck a handful of times in the whole series.
Wow. She doesn't like swear. Oh, SJP. Mm.
Oh, SJP. precious Sarah.
Benefactor of the New York, what was it? The Royal
New York Ballet.
Ballet. The New York Ballet.
Yeah, bless her heart. So, Amir, that's bad. But the scene in the lift is problematic. Big shouldn't have chased after her and certainly shouldn't have forced himself on her. But actually, I think what we can ascertain is we know that Carrie is still in love with Big, and it was kind of a matter of time, but no, she didn't consent.
I like the symbolism at the end of her, she's back smoking.
Oh, Carrie, back on the fags with Big. Yeah. And that becomes a motif for Carrie throughout, which is when she is doing something wrong, she starts smoking again. But to be continued, and we will be back next week.
For episode 10.
All or Nothing, I believe, where we will continue Carrie's deception and poor old Aidan, and indeed poor old Natasha as well. And of course, well, let's see how it all shakes out. Do join us next week. Please do messages with just basically your stories of adultery, because life is quite boring. So please do tell us about your adultery. And also, if there are any dietitians who can recommend a spunk recipe that can make it digestible for Juno Dawson, that would be really helpful.
So adultery and a spunk recipe, that's your home, that's listeners' homework.
That's your homework.
This week.
Until next week, you can follow us at SIGTT Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe, because it will help us to become rich and famous beyond our wildest dreams. Until next week, do take care.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.